In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. Good morning. Today, the Church celebrates one of her minor feasts called Thomas Sunday. And there's so many thoughts that come about when we mention the name Thomas. Doubting, twin, disciple, believer, apostle, preacher. But I'd like to focus this morning on the subject or the topic or the meditation is going to be entitled Touching the Lord. You see, our Lord Jesus appeared to the disciples immediately after his resurrection, and he assured them of his resurrection. And he breathed into their faces and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. The sins that you remit are remitted, and those which retain shall be retained." But one disciple was not with them, who is Thomas, and he doubted. You see, the disciples, when they started preaching, as we heard today in the reading of the Acts, that they were preaching Jesus and the resurrection. They were preaching Jesus and the resurrection. So in all honesty, Thomas couldn't have taken their words for it, because his faith would have been tested in every city and country that he visited. "Well, how do you know? Someone told me." No. He needed not only to see the Lord, but to touch the Lord. And by God's grace, what we want to meditate upon this morning is how can we really touch the Lord in our lives? Unless we have tasted and seen how good and how beautiful the Lord is, we would never be able to preach Him or to witness to Him, to His resurrection, to His salvation, and to His life-redeeming ministry. Unless we can say that we have experienced our Lord Jesus, we can never be true and full believers. Yes, there are many things that you and I need to take by faith, but the faith that leads us to true experience, not just say, "Well, I know that it happened and that's it," something as if it's an event that occurred in the past. No. The experience that we gain with the Lord Jesus is something that is ongoing on our day-to-day lives. Only yesterday, I was in a long conversation with a fine gentleman who is not Christian, but who has taken on the role or the wanting to know more about all religions. And he came to the conclusion that all religions are stemming from one and the same, and practically there is no difference between Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam. All of them are basically worshiping the same God, and there is no difference whatsoever. And a very learned gentleman, he's a scholar, he has done a lot of studies. But one thing was missing from this conversation is how to be led by the Holy Spirit. You see, religion is not just a mere academic endeavor that we can get into and get all the information and history from the books, and then we are satisfied mentally. Unless we experience God, we would never be able to connect with Him. It's going to be like a big salad bar at the end of the day, where I can just pick and choose and make up my own plate and make up my own thing about what religion is. But Christianity, true Christianity, is about touching the Lord, about experiencing Him in my day-to-day life, about seeing the little things and being led by the Holy Spirit. As the Pauline epistle said to us today, that we need not to grieve the Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. And this is the only way that we can become true believers. Apart from academia, I come from our studies and the proofs and the history and all of these things, the bottom line is experiencing and touching the Lord. The word touching or touch or touched has been repeated as a theme that is very prominent in the life of our Lord Jesus. And in many of His miracles, there was always a touch. There's always a touch. Just like, I don't know if many people have experienced the touch of a mother when they were children. Or just, you know, the soothing, you know, say, mommy, my stomach hurts. This is just touches the stomach and how do you feel now? Ah, oh, I feel good. You know? That touch. And it was the same way in the ministry of our Lord Jesus in all of the Gospels, but I want to just give you a few examples from the Gospel of St. Matthew. You know that lepers were defiled. No one could touch a leper because if someone touches a leper, then he himself would be defiled. He has to go through a whole ritual of cleansing. So lepers were outcasts. They would walk on opposite sides of the street. And when someone is approaching them from the other end, they have to humiliate themselves by calling themselves, leper, leper, watch out. So people, even if they don't know that this person is a leper, they would stay very far from them. But that's not the way that the Lord Jesus dealt. He went to the leper and he healed him. And here's what the Bible says, Matthew 8:3, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He touched the man and he said, I am willing. Be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. The Lord Jesus wants the touch. He wants the human connection between us and him. He touched the leper despite the tradition and the law that he who touches a leper would be defiled. Another example, if a woman had any kind of bleeding, whether on her menstrual period or through any other ailment or disease, also in Jewish tradition, she would be labeled in the same manner. But that's not our Lord Jesus. She would be undefiled, and she would not leave home, and she would be an outcast. But our Lord Jesus actually allowed her to touch him. Matthew 9:20, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And our Lord Jesus, in his kindness and in his love, he asked, who touched me? And Jesus asked, when they all denied it, Peter said, Master, people are crowding and pressing against you. But he, hundreds, thousands of people, and you say, who touched me? No, he said, this touch was none like any other touch. What happened to you, Lord? Luke 8:45 and 46. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. I know that power has gone out from me. Who wants to touch the Lord Jesus today and experience the power that comes out from him? So many people, and I'm the first one, I show up to church as a routine or go through, you know, the prayers without any mindset, but and I leave prayer and I leave my encounter with the Lord Jesus and I don't feel that power came out from him to change me, to transform me, to make me a whole new person. The Lord Jesus explained, and this came more than once in the Bibles, where he said, also in Mark 5:30, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? My beloved, every time we come into the assembly of the believers, we have the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ. Every single time I stand in my room or I serve someone who is in need or who is less fortunate, I touch the Lord Jesus and power proceeds from him. And I leave this encounter not the same way that I have first begun. Our prayer today that we can touch the Lord Jesus and that actual power would proceed out from him to transform us, to change us. Now, how can this transformation occur? It is very clear in today's readings. There are three very clear steps on how we can indeed touch the Lord. Just like Thomas said today, that unless I see and I put my hands, I need to touch him. I need to put my hand right here. And the Lord Jesus, when he came to him, he said, come and see and touch. The readings of today that the church has prepared for us has set for us three steps in order to practically touch the Lord Jesus. Number one, I need to realize that I am a new person. I am a new woman, a new man. I'm not the same person like I was prior to the resurrection. I have buried all my sins with Christ in the grave and I have resurrected with a brand new nature. And unless I experience this brand new nature, I would never be able to realistically touch the Lord Jesus. In the first epistle reading from the Ephesians 4, verses 20 to 32, the first step to this transformation or to this renewal, to be practically able to touch the Lord Jesus, is to search deep inside my heart what are the barriers that are keeping me from touching the Lord. St. Paul is telling us that we have to leave the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts. Number one, what are the lusts that are preventing me from experiencing and touching the Lord? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, okay? So, putting away lying, lusts, speaking the truth, try to speak the truth. We are members for one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. This is the process of renewal, that I take off the old man, the old habits, and I struggle. It's not going to be easy. Someone who has an anger problem all of his life, it's not going to be that easy just to say, okay, you know, put it behind you, bury it in the ground and move on. But with the help of Christ, we are able to do it. Maybe we need some help. In many times, we choose the world over Christ. And we are faced with so many decisions on our day-to-day lives. And the Lord wants us to conquer in each and every small encounter. One time I was during the H1N1 virus outbreak, just this past winter, and I was taking my children to the physician, to the doctor, pediatrician, and then I found, you know, tens of people in the waiting room. And I asked him, and I said, you know, how can you handle all this crowd? How is it possible that you see all these people? And he said something which stuck to my mind. He said, I take it one case at a time. Don't be overwhelmed with how many sins I have or how many things I need to conquer. Just take it one sin at a time, one old habit at a time, and focus on it, and God will give you victory over it, and you will feel that Christ is alive in me. I heard a funny / sad story this past week that I like to share with you. Someone was telling me, who doesn't live in Canada, someone was telling me, you know, I'm at the end of my ropes with my family. I can't take it anymore. I said, what's the problem? They said, we have a pet, like a dog or something. And then it's supposed to be the kid's pet, but I'm doing everything for this pet. And I'm allergic to the pet. And I keep feeding, and they're not doing anything about it. And so many problems. And I just came to my family and I said, look, it's either me or the dog at home. You have to make the decision. And they all looked at me and they said, but where are we going to send this little poor pet, you know? So they were almost like choosing the pet over her. And said, I never believed that they would actually do this, you know, like to choose the pet over me. But thank God, you know, things are okay now. But but in many cases, this is what you and I do. We choose the pet over the parent. We choose the world over Christ. And we are stuck with our old habits in a sense that we don't want to lose them. Where are they going to go? We are stuck. We are addicted. We have built these habits that we can't kick. But the Father is standing at the door. He says, darkness and light cannot coexist in one place. We have to make that choice. We either experience the Lord, we either touch Him and know that sin is wrong and I need to fight and resist against it. Or I have to live for the world. I cannot be just kind of lukewarm, hanging in the middle and not make that decision. The Lord is coming today to Thomas to tell him, come and touch me. Come and touch me. Come and experience me. Come and see what I can do in your life. You are going to be a great witness for me. You cannot be unbelieving, but today I want you to be believing. Not only are we going to kick the bad habits or fight them or resist them, but the Lord wants us to build better habits, good virtues, edifying one another as a community of believers. He is saying, let him his tool steal no longer, but labor. Like, don't just leave the stealing, but actually do something that is positive, labor, working with your hands, what is good, that you may have something to give him who has need. So each member in the church of God has a gift and a talent. And only last night we were speaking about the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, how we are all members of one another. We are interconnected to one another. We are interdependent on one another. And how when the church is an active church and a lively church, actually each member is edified. And we edify and build one another. This is how a living church becomes, that each figures out their own gifts and talents and contributes to those who have none. In the epistle of the Catholic epistle of St. John, he is telling us that I write to you, children, because your sins are forgiven. He is written to the fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. And he has written to the youth because they are strong, because the word of God abides in them, and that they have overcome the evil one. How many of our young people understand and believe in this verse? I have written to you, young men, women, because of three things. Because you are strong, because the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Thus we are leading through the strength of the Lord. We are living our life a victorious life, joyful in the Lord. This is what he wants from us. If I'm going to touch the Lord and experience him today, I need to realize that he who is in me is much greater than he who is in the world. That the devil can never defeat me or put me under his foot and have control over me. The Lord Jesus, who rose from the dead, has given me life. He has given me strength and power and the ability to overcome the evil one. So therefore, the first step to touch and experience the Lord is to kick the old habits, to fight and resist against them until bloodshed. Until now you have not resisted until bloodshed, fighting against sin. This is what the Lord wants from you and I. Secondly, is to realize the giftedness that God has given us, to edify the church, to edify the community, to build one another, to be a community not only of believers, but a community of actions. And thirdly, in the reading of the Acts today from Acts 17, we see St. Paul entering into Athens, and I love the verse that says that his spirit was provoked in him. He saw a temple that is built for the unknown God, and he saw so many people who had good potential, but they were on the wrong path. So he prayed to the Lord, and with the boldness of the Holy Spirit, he started to speak to them about the one true God. And he was able to relate to their culture. He took that symbol of the unknown God. He said, this is the God that I'm coming to speak to you about. The one that you have been searching for all these years, I have known, I have experienced, I have touched, and I'm coming to proclaim to you at this day. He used some quotations from their own poets. And these are pagan poets or pre-Christian poets. That's okay. If it's going to be a point of connection between us and the world outside, and it will help us to preach to them the message of Christ, then that's fine. He went to the Areopagus. Areopagus is the hill of Eros, one of the Greek gods. And there he encountered their philosophers, and they called him names. They called him a seed pecker. Not sure if you know what a seed pecker, or he's out of his mind. But as a matter of fact, please excuse the analogy, but this is what the word literally means. They called him not only a fool, but you know, when animals go in the field and they eat, and you know, they eat lots of hay and seeds and stuff like that, and they let it out from the other end, okay? Some of their reject still contains little seeds, undigested seeds, okay? And then there are certain birds that come and feed on these little seeds. So what they called him in the Areopagus, these philosophers, well-known philosophers, called him a seed pecker. He called him like these birds who come and eat at something that is rotten and reject. It was a big insult, but he didn't care. He didn't care because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. He was well aware, he saw the Lord, he experienced the Lord on his road to Damascus, so that didn't really matter. His love for the Lord exceeded any insult. And out of this experience from Athens, a few men joined him, among whom are Dionysius the Areopagite, okay, so one of these philosophers from the Areopagus, and a rich woman called Damaris, and few others with them. He didn't win many souls, but what he won was quite sufficient. Therefore, the third level of experiencing the Lord or touching the Lord is to actually preach the word in boldness, to be confident in what we believe in. It's not just a matter of maybe all are the same, everything is okay, and become just like wishy-washy and like have no object. I will never be able to experience, to preach the Lord and to witness to Him unless I have experienced Him and touched Him. And I have a good repertoire with the Lord Jesus, and I know that He died for my sin. I know that He rose from the dead with confidence. I know that He is coming again to judge the world in righteousness and to give each one according to his or her deeds. There is no ifs or buts about it. This is the whole truth. I have seen the Lord on my day-to-day life in little things, in the little miracles He does with me. When I'm financially strapped and I have no way out and God sends something out of nowhere. When there's a problem in front of my eyes that has no solution and I get down on my knees and the solution comes my way and I experience the Lord, I have touched the Lord Jesus. I have put my hands in His side and touched Him and have experienced Him. When one of my children or a sibling or a spouse are having conflicts all the time and there is no solution and God comes to change the heart, this is when I have experienced Him. You see, my beloved, from the beginning of the ministry, Christian mission, it was a matter of touching the Lord and experiencing Him. St. John in his first epistle, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 says, "That which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us." You see, experiencing the Lord or touching Him doesn't come that easy. It takes certain steps. Number one, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard. We begin by hearing about the Lord. Which we have seen, you start to see. And then, not only see, you have looked upon. Looking is more intense than just seeing. And after looking and gazing and being convinced, our hands have handled, our hands have touched. This is what we come to preach to you, to share with you. My beloved friends, the message of Thomas Sunday, or one of the messages of Thomas Sunday today, is the necessity to touch the Lord, to experience the Lord. And it's not going to be so easy or come so naturally. It needs us to put some effort into it, to pick up this book and start reading about how we can experience Him, going on our knees and praying in times of hardship and never giving up hope, continuously working on our spirituality and our closeness to the Lord. This is how we can experience Him. And I can assure you that the Lord will speak mightily in our lives. He is an amazing God and a loving God. But don't take my word for it. You go and experience Him yourself. You go and touch Him for yourself. You go and build this personal relationship with Him so that you can be overflowed with joy. Never take someone's word for it, especially when it comes to touching the Lord and experiencing Him. Don't just take my word for it. You have to feel it so that you will be able to share it with other people. May our Lord Jesus fill our lives with joy and happiness. And may we always touch Him and experience Him in every situation in our lives, whether good or bad, whether it is a challenge or whether it is good and leisure time. He is always there standing at the door and asking us to come and see and to touch and to experience. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.